It's May 28th, and the Speaker Podcast crew is sitting here. On the table in front of me, we have a bottle of sangria. And listeners to last week's cast will know that that's good news. That means we have, in fact, found...
the mysterious cities of gold? Or something similar from Peru.
Renato, who was missing in action last week. And It will turn out that he was, in fact, in a bar.
Yeah.
The one and only Firebomb Bar. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'll be missing in action next week as well, by the way. So,
just keep those, get people's hopes up, and then dash them, Renato.
Yeah.
And to my right.
Yes. yeah. Let's wake up. Adrian Lozano.
And the mysterious Venus on my left.
Egan Liu over here.
You need some new jokes, man. New material.
It's not a joke. Egan's official name is he's the mysterious Venus of the cast. So, he was like naked on the roof singing or some stuff the other night. Like, he's totally into the role. Yeah, completely. Anyways, as.
Giddy, giddy mind.
As listeners may have noticed, we're not here to strictly talk about the latest episode of Macross Delta this episode. That comes tomorrow because none of us have anything better to do than podcast, apparently. We're here to start catching up on all these other Macross-related things that have been going on as of late, guys.
As of January.
It's been that long.
Is this like the first podcast this year?
No. We recorded in February, posted in March. Like, we did the episode 2 theatrical screening.
Yeah, it feels like forever or something.
It's been a while. And, well, Delta's been keeping us all busy. But there's a bunch of things to discuss. And I just want to jump straight into what was probably... not the oldest event, but one of the older ones I want to talk about, guys, which was Anime Japan this year. Now, Anime Japan is an event we don't really normally talk about on the cast. It's, I don't know, how would you guys describe Anime Japan as an event?
Anime Japan is basically, it is a business and public event for the anime industry.
Mm-hmm.
And promoting anime as an aspect of Japanese culture, mainly now. And whatever new anime is coming out, they use it as a promotion tool to have voice actors, producers, directors, designers. It's like, it's similar to E3.
Right.
Even more crowded.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to note that it's an industry event, and it's not a fan event.
Right.
So, like, the two main kind of otaku-centric events would be... Anime Japan, and also Comic-Con, right? But they couldn't be further away from each other in terms of ideology. Comic-Con is completely run by the fans and for the fans, whereas this one here, Anime Japan, is just to sell you on the up-and-coming stuff, to showcase some new merchandise that has never been unveiled before, that kind of stuff. So, of course... when was this?
Anime Japan?
Late March.
Yeah.
And it was at March 26th at the Tokyo Big Sight. And traditionally, you know, there wasn't even like a real cosplay section. It's become more consumer friendly as of over the last few years.
Yeah.
Well, since it became Anime Japan.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama involved in that. But the reason we don't talk about it that much is because unless there's a new Macross animation coming out, there's nothing Macross related to see.
Right. And even what there is to see, it tends to be like, well... there might be a new commercial for some show that's been announced, or they'll announce some new shows. But a lot of the stuff they have there, they're pitching to overseas buyers from networks, they're pitching internally to different local TV stations in Japan and stuff, right? So this year, however, being the year of Macross Delta, we had a talk show. And as always, look, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention what a pain in the butt it was to get tickets for this thing. More ludicrous than normal. So... there was a pre-order period for tickets for Anime Japan. And it's just, as it's like a convention kind of industry show, you don't need to pre-order tickets. You can just buy them on the day. Or you can get them right up to the night before the show. But there was a special pre-order period. Whereas if you bought tickets at that time, which I didn't, you would get an entry coupon into a draw for stage shows. And you could elect which stage shows you'd like, but there's no guarantee you'd get those. So the people who pre-ordered all went into this giant draw and got... drawn out for tickets for these stage shows, many of which they didn't want to go to, meaning an immediate rush to Yahoo Auctions and all these people trying to get rid of these tickets they don't want, which is how I got my ticket. The rest of the crew, though, were fortunate enough to get in as guests of the Mysterious Venus, as press. Adrian, you in particular, you were right down the front.
I wasn't just in the front. I was in the photographer section at the foot of the stage.
You were the front.
So I was in front of the barrier you cannot cross.
You crossed the Ike and I borderline.
Yeah, that's right.
Giddy, giddy,
and you know what was on the other side?
Mikumo?
No. Man, Nakajima's legs. Oh. I was right under Megumi Nakajima. It was awesome.
Did you have a camera?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
So look for those pictures sometimes. Well, that's if Adrian lets other people see them. I don't know that he will, but we'll see.
If I only had a website.
Yeah, well.
So we went to this talk show, and you mentioned Megumi Nakajima. We all got in. It was very full, I got to admit. By the time it started, there weren't really any seats. We were there. Also, Mike was there, who'd flown over for... Why was he here at that time? Mike's been here for like three times.
To watch episode two of Macross Delta, right?
This was that trip. Wow, okay.
That was a trip. He flew all the way out here to go to the episode two screening.
Oh, the screening, right. So it was before the broadcast, right?
Right. So
yeah, well, I had to translate everything for him
during
the whole time. So I had a lot of heads turning, looking at me, going, this guy doesn't shut up while everyone's talking.
Is that any different to normal? Or?
Yeah, well...
So this talk show, what was it? Look, it was very much a promotional piece for Delta. It was also a nostalgia piece for existing fans. Because let's face it, no one in that audience was there because they just heard of Delta and didn't know Macross. It was very much Macross fans and Macross fans only. Maybe some industry folk.
Hmm.
You know, and as a kind of promotional piece, there are lots of, as we call them, digest clips. Clips from old series. They're re-showing clips from episode 0.89 of Delta, which everyone in the audience, I'm sure, had seen multiple times by that point. But what was the draw? The main draw was that we had this amazing array of cast members of Macross, past and present. To list them here, we had Hayami Shaw, Max. We had Eri Takeda, Milia. We had Tomo Sakurai, Milen. Asami Seto, Mirage. So right there, you might notice, just with those four guests, that is a genius family reunion.
A bunch of geniuses.
Exactly. On top of that, we had Yuma Uchida with Hayate, Minori Suzuki, Freya, and attached to that pair of legs, Megumi Nakajima, Ranka. Oh, and what's that guy? Kawamori was there as well, that guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... we're here to listen to what they had to say. Now, Kawamori opened things up. There was very little in the way of meaningful information. People were there to hear the cast talk to each other and interact, you know. But there was one piece of information at the very beginning. Kawamori just, like, pops it out there. Oh, yeah, Mirage's mother is Miranda. That was it. No great ado about it.
Like, yeah, and I wonder how many people... I mean, you said that they were all Macross fans. I'm not sure that they were as hardcore Macross fans as we are, that they would know who Miranda was.
I would agree with you.
He didn't explain it.
All the old guard was there, because we all met them at the satellite booth before going in.
And Hisame was there dressed as Mirage.
Yeah. But she's a newer fan. She's not an original fan.
Yeah, seven, I don't think she knows...
Yeah, she wouldn't know.
So... and
Therese.
Some of the old guard even complained about how we had press passes.
That's not me.
Blame that because we're foreigners and Macross fans.
Gadget smash. Yeah.
It's a lot of hard work goes into getting those passes.
Is that the guy with the glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me that. Like, in some other...
He just had
I think
a kid,
I told you
guy,
about
yeah?
it, right?
Yeah. That's the guy who just had a kid.
Yeah. But he told me, like, about a year ago or 2 years ago, he said to me, oh, why don't you go over to those events, you know, because you're a gaijin, you can get in there for free or something. And I'm like, that's not how it works. At least not for me. Like,
oh, no, he's
probably because I'm not as white as you.
He's the guy who has the kid who did the huge dump after episode one.
Oh, that's him?
That's him.
Okay.
No, it's extremely... You either have to have Egan and his amazing credentials speak for you to get inside.
Yeah.
Or you go there and you kind of schmooze your way in and have a way of doing it and show that you have some kind of connection to media.
Or you go on Yahoo Auctions and pay 3,000 yen like I did.
But I would say the majority of people there was a mix of all kinds of fans of the different Macross generations.
So not many of them would have known. Well, yeah, even I was like, the first thing I want to do is pull my phone out and just double check which one Miranda is in the old family picture. And then, I couldn't, because you can't have your phones out in that event. They're pretty strict on, you know,
really?
So people don't record or take pictures unless you're press. You could
That's what you think, but like, you got messered because Mike just went and tweeted it just to piss you off.
He did.
Yeah, because I was right next to him and he was like, okay, here we go. As soon as I said it, because I translated it, he was like, all right.
Yeah, see, I waited till the event finished, and then the minute they turned the lights back on...
And I think I remember...
I checked the picture, I pulled it up, and I checked it against the Japanese wiki. Okay, that one is Miranda, spot on. And I went to tweet it, and Mike had beat me to it. I was like, yeah, God damn it,
and
Mike.
And I think I remember, like, Mike grinning, saying, this is going to piss Gwyn, so...
What picture are you talking about?
Well, there's the picture of the Genus family. At the very young Genus family.
Kurt's cell.
Well, Kurt has the cell of it, yeah. Friend of ours has the actual cell of it. From, what's that from the background of? Is it Dynamite 7?
It's in the background. No, it's
the movie.
It's
Galaxy's
movie.
Calling Me.
Yeah.
Right. It's in the room.
Room.
And it's not the best... The version online is not the best picture of it because, you know, it's taken from a standard definition.
No. Image. You just call her up and say, hey.
Well, a friend of ours was in town who's like, oh, I actually have the cell of that, yeah, and he pulled up a picture of it, this glorious high resolution scan.
Yeah, yeah.
And as
if you want to see that picture, I believe you can go to
online,
Asylum
yeah.
Anime, and he actually posts it in his collection of cells.
Yeah, but now that we've said that, you're going to see that picture everywhere when people use the copy and paste function.
Yeah, that but the worst for right now, the actual one that pops up on most searches is a really, really bad one.
Yeah,
but he actually has a really nice scan of it.
100% agreed. So that was the point. You know, that was the great thing. You had this Genus family reunion going on, right? And even before the show started, they had, with static images on the big screen, a conversation between the generations a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And for example, someone called, Mirage called Milan, like Oba-san, like auntie. And
Oba-san.
Okay, Oba. Which one did she say? I've forgotten. She called her auntie, old auntie or something.
Yeah. She should have called her Obari.
And,
they want to see that cross-dress.
And, well, it was much like the Mao and Cheryl thing in Macross 30, you know, this kind of cross-generational, super-dimensional, transcending time and space kind of conversation.
I like how you work all that in.
And that was really cool. That was really, really cool. Now, all the cast got to talk a little bit. Once the Miranda bombshell was dropped, the cast basically were just talking about, you know, their impressions and their experiences with Macross. Some examples... Uchida, you know, Hayate's voice actor, mentioned that, you know, he first saw Macross Frontier. Now, keep in mind, he's 24 now, so that would put him at, like, 16 or so. And so when he was going through school, his friends were all watching Frontier. And he said, you know, he'd often hear from his friends, you know, the mech are cool, the songs are great, and so he watched it. That's just part of growing up. Eri Takeda mentioned the difficulty of trying to portray the relationship with Max. In her voice performance, how do you convey an alien falling in love, like talking, you know, with a human when there's no common culture there anyway? Like, how do you make this feel real?
Yeah, or how do you make it sound like we're really not having sex anymore?
Well, that's seven, but yeah, she did mention that. Yeah, actually, by seven, she was like, well, how do I portray an older Mia Milia?
Yeah,
or should I say Milia the Presidental? Sure.
You know Fukuyama's in there. In Milia the President, that short, Fukuyama and the other members of Hummingbird, Asolo-san...
They're in the crowd, Fukuyama, right?
...are in the crowd when they're supporting, like, this... She's having, like, a speech or a rally or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there going, yeah.
Yeah, he actually said
they're
that...
Put that up in the notes.
Yeah, no, he mentioned that in the 2014 gig, in the 5-1 gig. Yeah, he actually did mention that, so it was kind of cool. So Sho Hayami was mentioning how, you know, Macross's youth, it's his youth.
Yeah.
But in general, because every new show is something new, it's everyone's youth. It's just youth in general. It's
which
constantly
is kind of cool.
Renewing.
And if you, hey, Egan, you probably remember this, the front page, I believe, of, the Gold Book says something very, very similar. It begins with some kind of a quote that says, Macross is youth. This story is about youth within the stars or something like that. Okay, Gwyn, get it.
Had to pull it out.
So, when, just to take a step back, when they introduced everyone on screen, they had, like, you know, a big portrait of their character, and everyone did a line. So Max was like, Hayami was talking in young Max voice.
Yeah.
But Eri Takeda was doing Macro 7 Miria, so it was kind of a weird disconnect.
I totally don't remember this.
Because Max was like, well, Max was like, oh, I guess I really am a genius. And then Miria's like, who's calling me an Obasa? So it's like, okay. It's like, wow, okay. And then the thing was, though, when Megumi came out on stage, and we go on to experience this again a couple months later, but she got almost a standing ovation. Like, people were cheering and calling out. And, you know, keep in mind that she's semi-retired. She doesn't really appear... Well, she doesn't sing as Ranker anymore, do her Macross songs anymore.
Yeah.
And her being... She got by far the greatest amount of applause.
Yeah,
and catcalling and people yelling.
Catcalling.
It was... I was really shocked because, you know, of all the people we've seen on stage the most to date, with the exception of very recently with the Delta cast, you know, Megumi appeared at every event during the Frontier game. She was all over the place, but now it's like her popularity is rocketed because she's... not a commodity that's easy to get anymore. Yeah,
but still, I mean, she doesn't represent Macross any better than the other.
I know, but like,
when it comes to the most recent Macross and where the recent influx of fans, probably the good number of the people that were in that crowd, they were there because of Frontier,
absolutely,
the new generation.
Yeah, I agree.
So until Delta comes into to the picture, they're the ones that are coming in. Mm. Yeah.
Shake my head.
So, well, people are saying that about Macross 7 before, like, oh, this new generation of people, they don't remember the old Macross. So every generation goes like that.
Youth.
So Megumi mentioned
that
because they showed a bit of footage of each actress or actor's character and asked them, you know, what do you remember, you know, what are your thoughts on the character, and she was saying how embarrassed she was seeing her original Ranker performance, how she was
the
so young.
That was good.
Exactly. And this went back to what you were saying a few weeks back, Renato, how she sounded different because she sounded more like a person and less like a trained voice actress.
Right? Yeah, and so when she was saying that, I was in the back going, Mike was like, what's wrong?
Well, you should have translated for him.
I think I did.
The interesting thing is, of course, that, you know, she mentioned, and she said this before at events, how she very much grew up parallel in tandem with Ranker, you know, because she was a similar age, she was just graduated high school, she got into, you know, the seiyuu business, the singing business. It was very much a life imitating art.
Yeah, and they kind of all did that, right? Because Freya was doing that
too. The only exception is possibly Milane Tomosakurai. She had a couple parts, but yeah. And everyone else was that, you know, they rode a roller coaster up with Macross.
Yeah.
And then we had Minori Suzuki, you know, Freya. And having seen her at a lot of events recently, and a fair few since this one, she's gotten a lot better at public speaking and being on stage and playing her character at the drop of a hat than she was at this event. However, what I found more interesting than anything else is that, you know, I'd heard...
She cried.
Right. We'll get to that. I'm going to build it up right now. You just don't hit people with the emotional punch. Oh. I'd read in interviews that she's a huge fan of Megumi Nakajima and of Maya Sakamoto. Right. So she's got amazingly good taste in music right there. 50% at least. So this was her first time actually meeting Megumi in person, let alone being on stage together. So she was kind of fangirling out. Like, she was all like giggling and really kind of on edge the whole time. And then at the end, when at the end of the event, all the actors, the older actors, gave the words of support to the new cast, kind of passing the torch, and Minori just broke down and started crying, and it was like, it was Asami Seto, right? She came and put her hand on her shoulder or something.
She ran up. Yeah, I got pictures of that, but she ran up, kind of like hugged her and was like, you know, ganbatte kind of thing, and then she just kind of stood off to the side.
It was, you know, I've seen young voice actresses and seiyuu and whatnot, you know, pretend to cry as a part of getting the crowd rolled up, but this seemed pretty legitimate
to me. Well, Mike says otherwise.
Well, how many crying girls has Mike... Well, okay, let's change the topic. It seemed legit to me. I was pretty impressed with it. And, you know, the fact that it kind of brought the cast together and, you know, seeing those photos of yours, Adrian, she seemed really genuinely like she was tearing up. It was... a nice touch, I thought. She did mention, though, that, you know, being on stage with Megumi, she's like, I'm so happy, I could die. And the MC's like, ah, no, you have to wait till we finish making Delta.
Yeah, then you can die.
Then you can die.
Yeah.
Which was a kind of morbid touch to this whole thing. Asami Seto, you know, Mirage mentioned she actually watched one of the Frontier movies at cinema back in the day. Back in the day. Several years ago. 5 years ago, something like that.
It was more than that.
Kawamori was talking a bit about how Freya is really a kind of a galactic kind of country bumpkin when she comes to the planet.
Yeah. I like the phrase galactic country bumpkin, by the way.
Is galactic bumpkin, or do you think galactic country bumpkin?
I don't know.
An outer rim bumpkin? And he was talking a lot about, you know, the difficulty of making a new Macross, and we've talked about this before, you know, how the problem with Macross is that from the very get-go, people know that music is going to save the day. And he was talking about how he wants to update the original concepts with Delta for a more modern audience, but not too modern, because if he was to really update it, we wouldn't need pilots, and all the planes would be, all the Valkyries would be unmanned.
Yeah.
So he was talking a little bit about that balance, you know. He also mentioned different types of triangles, how there'd be more than just the love triangle. There'd be different type of triangle relationships, triangles of comrades in arms, triangles of enemies, of rivals. So it's more than just the love triangle. So he's really trying to change his concepts around for Delta, which I think we're starting to see in the show. So, yeah, in short, there's a lot of talk of remixing elements and updating them and modernizing them for the show. But, yeah, that was, you know, as I said, nothing really huge in news apart from the Miranda thing. But I thought it was great seeing the whole cast on stage. Any thoughts, guys?
Yeah, like, I mean, I agree with you. The emotional speech that Minoru Suzuki made was really well done, I think. It was just a very brief chatting session.
Yeah, it was like maybe 40 minutes all up.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long, and chairs were tiny, and it was ages to get in, and the event was packed, because you had to... Everyone was doing that stamp rally for the clear files. They had the clear file with the Mirage... Not the Mirage, the...
Mikumo.
Mikumo art, thank you, on it. The naked Mikumo
although,
art.
Although, they, if you notice, on the flyers that they gave out, Hayate was Hayate, Freya was Freya, and they labeled Mirage wrong. They labeled her as Mikumo.
And it was so actually a retraction or an apology on the official Macross Twitter feed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, later that evening. They're like, we're sorry, this was a mistake.
Well, can I take credit for that? Because I told you, and you probably told them, right?
Yeah, you could probably take credit for that.
Take credit.
I messaged them. I actually went up to staff in the booth and go, guys, you realize it's not right.
Satellite, you're welcome.
It was the official Macross Twitter that apologized.
That's true. Not necessarily.
For Frontier?
Oh.
Moving on.
No, Anime Japan as a whole, that was the busiest I've ever seen. According to the official website of the event, attendance was up by 111%. They're saying they had 135,323 visitors.
Which is a bad thing if you actually want to enjoy the event.
Yeah.
Because doing the stamp rally sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, stop. You guys were, like, we were supposed to meet at 12,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you texted me at, like, 11:50 or something and said, well, I'm sorry, we're going to be late because we still haven't left the apartment or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you arrived at, like, 12:30. You still arrived earlier than I did because I was lining up outside for over an hour because I didn't have the special passes that you did. So you can't complain. You had it easy. You waltzed in.
I'm not talking about the line to get
in. I know you're not talking about the line, but you should talk about the line. That's my point.
Oh, yeah. If you don't have a press pass or work in the industry...
You're out of luck.
Then where you get the guest pass, yeah, you're out of luck.
Hashtag anime industry.
Yeah. It's over.
But moving around is not as quite as bad as Comic-A. Mm. But then Comic-A is you kind of, it's a free-for-all. This, if you actually want to get something and it's a cross-promotion between other booths, it's bad enough when they're in the same room. But this one was actually in the shape of a Delta.
So, it was, yeah.
So you had to go from the satellite booth to the Bandai Visual booth, or was it Bandai Visual or the streaming?
I thought it was Bandai Visual. No, they were streaming the original Macross. They had the posters up for it.
Plus, you had all these events that you had to go that were timed.
Yeah. Well, then the third point of the triangle was Bandai Namco booth.
Yeah.
Which is in another hall.
Which is at the back end corner of the hall, the exhibit hall, across the main hall, which was even bigger than the hall we were in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because that's where the stages were.
I met one of my students there.
Yeah, that's right. Who works for Bandai Visual?
No, he works for Bandai Namco, I think.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was Bandai Namco booth, so...
Yeah.
Anyways.
And at that booth, in fact, they had the rather, how do I put it, elongated or narrow footage of... That was the first time we saw the VF1 EXs, but we didn't know exactly what that was supposed to be.
I knew it was supposed to be Jetfire, and that's all I cared about.
All right, moving on.
Jetfire. Hey, you know, it reminded me of something. You know, there's a new repaint of Ultra Magnus coming out.
Yeah, I heard.
Toy.
Yeah.
You know what it's called? Delta Magnus. It's all connected, man. It's all connected. I'm not making it up. Go and ask.
I don't know. If it was Delta Magnus EX, maybe I'd agree with you.
So is there anything else to add about Anime Japan?
Yes, there is, because there was a second talk event that we went to see.
Oh, remember? At the satellite booth.
Yeah. So, like, we had to line up for that, I think.
Well, I barely saw it. Like, okay.
Yeah, because you were on Twitter and Facebook the whole time. I was actually pretty pissed off with you.
What's that got to do with anything? So they had one at the streaming booth across from Satellite. Then they had a talk show at the Satellite booth. And both were Kawamori. And both... Well, the thing is, Kawamori's main one wasn't at the Satellite booth. It was one across...
and there was a third one, I couldn't even
get close to that, and like I was the very distance near the rope, and there was so much noise coming from the satellite booth with the Delta trailers, I couldn't hear a word Kawamori was saying, so I just sat there and tweeted.
I couldn't see him, but I could hear him.
Well, what was he saying?
I don't remember. It was like 5 months ago. I don't know. I thought
you... how good you are.
No.
So in other
no,
words,
but he was there with Minori Suzuki. And then I think it was some presenter girl at the booth. And oh, the three of them were just talking.
Was it Kyanchi? It was probably Kyanchi, because she appeared.
I don't know.
A bunch of it. She was the host at the fan club event we went to a few months after that.
Oh, it could have been. I don't know.
She was also at Wonderfest when they did karaoke contests.
Well, I like her. She's pretty good.
She's nice. Yeah, I talked to her briefly. Oh, she really? Was caught, like... Because, you know, Wonderfest, they had the cutouts at the satellite booth for Delta, and I went up to get a picture with them, and she's like, oh, can I copy your pose? I'm like, oh, it's, I guess. Yeah, but she's cool. She also does some Gravia work recently, which just kind of throws me off base when I see it, because I've seen her appearing at talk shows for years.
Why does it throw you off base? Because I've seen you in a bikini.
Because a completely different image. Like, she's suddenly going for this kind of cute, idly talk show host.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like, bam, she's doing really kind
of... She's a cute, idly Gravia model. What's that?
All right.
I think it one point perfectly fits.
I think that's probably about it for Anime Japan. Yeah.
ただ手に入れれば失うものたち数えて涙も隠していたね
Keeping on the topic of Delta events then, and a lot of these we've mentioned in the GER talks, but I thought we'd have a second chance to maybe flesh things out a bit more, speaking of bikini models, or talking about, you know, any details we didn't get around to, okay? So, Renato, I know you dropped by, as did I, the karaoke event they had outside of Park.
We went on different days.
We did. So tell me your experience with it.
Well, I'll tell you my experience. I went...
Well, maybe explain what it was.
Well, it says it's a karaoke event, which I thought... I didn't even know this until I arrived, and I met... he said that it's not a karaoke event, it's just some people are going to sing with a backing vocal track. Because to me, a karaoke event is anyone can apply or just go up on stage and sing those songs. And I thought that was pretty cool. But he told me that it was just Big West had decided on some singers that they picked up from some, I don't know, some people that they know, and they're going to sing. And they do that like two or three times each day. Or more?
Yeah, twice each day.
Okay. And then in between, they would show clips of Delta. I think they had like a mini stamp rally or something. Like a lottery draw or something like that to win stuff, too. I don't remember.
Yeah, they had a lucky dip draw kind of thing.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I didn't do that.
I did. I got some baby style ramen.
There you go. So I said, okay, well, I'll come back at like 4 or whenever the next one begins then. See you later. And then I went to do some shopping. And I went over to the Osamatsu-san shop, which is cool.
I went over to the Kamen Rider anniversary event that they had in... it's actually in Parco, I think.
Everything, all of that was in Parco. Parco's really cool.
So, yeah, this was held outside, and just to give context, this booth, the stage set up just on the sidewalk outside of a very busy area in a fairly trendy area of Tokyo. It's Shibuya. This isn't Akihabara. This isn't... Nakano Broadway.
No, but it's weird because that space is often used for some kind of event thing. And it actually more... I wouldn't say more often than not, but very often, it is some kind of manga, anime thing. Like, they had a... Last one I remember was when the Dragon Ball Resurrection of F movie came out. Mm-hmm. They had this giant Goku there, which was, like, pounding the ground. And it looked like an explosion.
They had some booths set up for the video game as well, from memory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For one of the Xenoverse games.
Yeah,
which came out at the same time.
So they have a lot of stuff regularly. So, but I mean, your point still stands. It's not the typical either Akihabara or Ikebukuro, which is what they used to do.
For people in America, if you have you want to think of some kind of equivalent, rough equivalent, in it would be like Santa Monica in the California area doing some kind of event. Union Square in San Francisco, which and New York Times Square, because all of those I remember did Pokemon events or something, video game, and yet it's all also mainstream, all things which people go with a regular shopping, trendy shopping, and yet still has some kind of popular culture connections.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly Parco, right? It's a very, very super mainstream, but at the same time I think Times Square is going a bit too far, because
it's not that big.
It's not in front of Ichimaru-kyu, 109 or something like that, which would be like the main...
Although be
more like
less
Union
room,
Square
or
Santa Monica.
Yeah, less room. But they still do events there, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I came back at 4, and I remember I talked about this very briefly on the other GirlTalk podcast, and Mike said that he totally disagrees with this, but I didn't... I wasn't impressed with the girl that sang, the first girl, and you disagree too.
And even less so now, in retrospect, having seen the real singers at Kawasaki a couple of weeks ago.
I think she was quite good. And I think we need to try to explain who these singers were.
Well, they're kind of like, they weren't introduced.
Well, they're kind of like semi-pro. They tend to, like, most of these people also appeared at the karaoke event at Wonderfest.
Okay.
And so they're trying to get careers or pitch themselves to the industry. And
they're pros, but they're not mainstream.
Not like,
they haven't had their
pros.
Big break really yet. Right. But they are pros.
So someone we knew was actually
singing. So, but I only found out after, because I saw her Facebook post that evening. I left after the second song. So I heard the opening and the ending, and then a second singer. So the first singer sang the opening and the ending of Delta, and then the second singer started singing some Frontier songs, and I'm like, okay, fine. So I left, and it turned out that the third singer was this girl that we knew. That I had sung with before. Yeah. And I remember asking her a long time ago, and I was like, so what do you do, really? I mean, is this actually your job? And she says, I'm a professional. She almost got angry, right? Because, like, it would be insulting to assume that it's not, I guess. But no, I mean, we've known her for a few years now, and she's been
building up
in
a
the
career.
Public eye.
Yeah.
She had a... Didn't she sing the theme to some Nintendo DS game recently? I only know by what she posts on Facebook. So I know that she has a lot more stuff.
Well, she was there, and you know, they had one or two guys who both did Fire Bomber songs, which was interesting. Because, we got some Fire Bomber songs as well as Delta songs. So that was kind of cool. And as I said in the previous podcast, we briefly touched on this. You know, one of the great things I saw was, you know, the show was only a couple of episodes in, if that, and we had a young family with a very young kid on their shoulders, maybe 5-6 years old, and she was throwing up Valkyrie symbols and yelling out, Freya, Freya, and it was just really cool. Obviously, they're watching together as a family, because the family was like, yeah, she knows.
You're really keeping it. The Lolicon tradition in Macross, aren't you?
You just read too much into this. You've read too much into this, right? Wrong spy. But that was really cool. And look, it was a weird event, because I really did wonder what the point of it was. I think they were just trying to raise public awareness.
That, and also noticed that they were heavily emphasizing, you know, the company that creates karaoke services, Joy Sound, was saying, we've got all these back catalog of songs from Macross.
Yeah.
And we already have 5 or 6 Macross Delta songs ready to go for you guys to sing. So they were heavily, I guess the main promoter of that particular event was Joy Sound, getting everyone into it.
Yeah, that's the main reason for the event. So, in other words, they're pushing the music far more.
And they
than
did
any
debut a lot of these songs in karaoke. So,
yeah. I mean, the event, you went on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I went on Sunday, and I remember the MC was saying that all of these songs will be, like, a couple of them were already there, but all of the remainder of the songs would be in the Joy Sound servers from Monday, from the following day.
Oh, okay.
Which means just about most of the karaoke bars and places you go to in Japan, they're about is either that system or another system that is in Japan. So odds are, if you go anywhere in Japan, they'll have the songs.
Yeah, it's either Joy Sound or Cyberdam, and they tend to be pretty much the same. But Joy Sound has a special license with Big West, I think.
Right.
Because Joy Sound is the one that does
the competitions where you win stuff?
The competitions as well. And also they have the Fire Bomber room that we went to and we recorded.
Many years ago.
Is it still there? Around. It's still there, yeah. Fire Bomber and also Macross Frontier. They have a ranker room and a sharer room.
FP7 room.
So if you want to get in them, you can. What? The rooms? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anything else. It's not sexual. It's not Max's Delta, the opening song, where the lyrics are literally, if I only fall in love once, I want to play around inside you.
Well,
literally.
You literally heard that song sung live recently, Renato, as you mentioned. So
yes.
We are going now from the The public karaoke event on April 23rd. We're jumping to May 14th.
Did we talk about the screening outside Studio Alta?
I think I mentioned it in the broad... In
yeah,
one of the
very briefly.
Okay, if you want to bring it up. They were screening version
0.89, yeah.
The day of the official broadcast of the full episode one, but earlier in the day, so like 5 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
April 3rd.
Something like that. So you could go and rewatch on this big screen in front of a station an episode you'd been watching since New Year's.
Yeah, but
before you got to watch mostly the same content and broadcast 5.5 hours later.
And they were showing it in Tokyo and in Osaka and in Nagoya as well. And I know that Osaka Howard went to see it. But I expected a bigger crowd, to be honest. It wasn't... I mean, maybe I'm being naive, but I thought all the Macross fans would really love to see it on the side of a building.
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool? And it turned out that it was us and some, like... What is it? Some anti-war protesters?
Anti-nuke protester, I thought? Nuclear...
No, it was... I think they were protesting the...
Anti-military... I think they were, thing.
Yeah, I think they were protesting just the general militarism that the Prime Minister is...
Oh,
trying
not,
to shut
not
down
like the not protesting militarism in Macross per se.
No. But, nice, though. Nice
okay.
try.
Okay.
No, I agree that the turnout was...
Lynn Kaisen.
The turnout was medieval. It was bad. I mean...
But there were people that we didn't know. There were people we did. And then
yeah,
there were people that we didn't know that were...
It wasn't even like 30 people.
No, it wasn't
it was
anywhere near that.
Maybe 17 to 20 kind of salt and peppered around the
and
general
I,
area.
Did you see the looks on the people of the passersby?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't like, paying attention to...
They looked at us because we were... Especially the, like the other otaku, like the number one Macross fan was there, and they were all filming the screen. So they were regular passers-by, like I mean, like people with girlfriends and stuff. They were looking towards us, and then they were looking towards the screen, and then back at us, and then they shrugged their shoulders and walked away. As
because it was in. Like, was it the east exit of Shinjuku?
Yes, yeah. East exit of Shinjuku.
It's the east
where they
exit.
Had the Yamato 2199 thing.
And it was shown on Studio Alta, the famous AltaVision that was in Megazone 2-3 if you're our age. And, but you're not taking consideration that it was during the week of the
Delta
Hanami. And
yeah.
it had rain the day before.
Right.
Rained that early morning and cleared up. And everyone was at the park. Didn't matter where you were.
Yeah, I went from drinking in the park to the screening.
Because even our...
Actually, me too.
Yeah,
I did that.
I mean, all our big group of, like, co-workers and people we network with had, you know, the picnic kind of thing. And then we took off an hour before that ended to make the screening.
Right. That, you're not... I don't know. That's not enough in my book. Because Comic-Con happens, I think, on Valentine's Day and Christmas, right? And people aren't giving up their lives for that.
No,
but this
happen.
Is a screening of something that was already shown on TV, so you could miss it. Plus,
people went to see the false songstress. That was shown on TV.
But Hisame didn't go because she was at a photo shoot that
day. Yep.
With a bunch of the other younger Frontier fans. Like a photo shoot of like 15 people.
There's a lot of people.
But there was really no reason to go. Even for me, I'm like, I'd rather stay and drink and hang back with my friends than see episode 0.89. But there's a chance that maybe it'll be the full episode, but I doubt it.
Well, they'll show a commercial or something, or something new. You know.
And we were looking forward to a commercial or something at the end or something. You told me that, right?
Yeah,
and there was nothing.
There was nothing.
No, so... I mean, I wasn't disappointed. Don't get me wrong. I just thought it was kind of... I was bemused by it, really.
All right.
But I have to say, the sound was great, and the visuals were great.
Machina, blown up that big.
It was good.
It was good.
Very pink.
Very pink.
Very pink.
Very blown.
We're blown.
Let's go.
So, all right, let's jump forward now to May 14. And this is the last event I kind of want to cover before cutting over to a special report from you, Renato, down in Osaka.
Oh, I guess I have to get going then.
So May 14th, as we've mentioned before, we went to Kawasaki, to Lazona in Kawasaki. And there was a mini, and I'm using air quotes, mini Valkyrie gig. Now, the term mini was used because, A, only two of the singers were going to be there, Junna and Minori Suzuki.
Yeah, the only ones that matter.
So Mikamura and Freya. And also, it's being held in, like, a courtyard in a shopping center. So, you know, small amount of people. So the hardcore fans are probably watching. Shoppers are strolling past. Not supposed to be that huge of an event. Boy, were we wrong when it came to that. However, I also want to make one point. With regards to just being Junna and Minori Suzuki, it's interesting in Frontier that a lot of the major songs are being sung by either one or the other of those two, or as a duet, or even the ones with all the girls in them. Some of them, they're obviously emphasizing the vocals from Junna and Minori Suzuki. And yeah. I think that is them future-proofing the songs for concerts, because since the rest of the singers are all voice actresses with different contacts and different contracts, different agencies, they probably can't all come together for concerts all the time. So this way, they've got all these versions of songs that they can do at concerts without the rest of Valkyrie there.
Future-proofing. Microspeaking podcast. Making up new vocabulary.
That's a word, future-proofing.
Is it?
Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of like, okay, like for example, there's a main version of Sayonara no Tsubasa, you know, things like that. There's a main version of Lion, so just with main doing it. This is kind of doing that again. So I think that's one of the main reasons it was the two of them. Also, even though they're only two of a much larger group of singers, I think those are the two whose career are starting and are getting a career as singers as opposed to mostly voice actresses. So it's kind of important that those two are being promoted, I think, in the public eye. So we went to this gig, and as we mentioned on previous podcasts, we got there pretty early. We got there around 9 a.m. or so, and there were, you know, it was a decent amount, maybe 100 hardcore fans there. And then while we were waiting, because the gig didn't start till, I want to say, 3?
3 o'clock, that's right.
It just kept filling up until all five stories of balconies were full. You couldn't barely move. It was chaos. I mean, it was controlled chaos because
it is Japan.
The security, you know, kept the walkways open, so the regular people trying to shop could actually get
through.
Yeah,
and when we say security, it's just a couple of guys, really. It's not like big,
right?
Like,
well, they were directing.
Bouncers had to control the swooping girls.
Swooping? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Swooping?
But there were people there directing the crowds to keep things under control. Yeah. And
but they were just saying that keep the aisle open so that people can pass through, because not everyone is here to see the concert. Some people just want to do their weekend shopping.
Right. So this was kind of an opposite effect. This is the exact opposite to the screening we saw at Shinjuku Station. We expected a lot of people.
Yeah, right.
And didn't get many at all. But this time around, we got a lot.
You must have suspected something, otherwise you wouldn't have gone so early. I was still at home when I got your first tweet that said there's already 300 people here.
It's called The Voice of Reason chimed in, because I went to him and said, how early are we going? And he goes, oh, I don't know,
you don't miss a
reason
beat
to go that early, you know, because such and such. I said, I don't plan on going like at 7 a.m., but we should probably get there at 9. Plus, aren't they giving something away? And you said, they are, but I don't know if it's worth going to get that free thing.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. But we went there, like me, you, Egan, and we forgot to bring sunblock.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a clear, almost cloudless day, blue sky.
Yeah.
Well, it got a bit cloudier later on, so that was okay. Yeah.
So what songs, once it finally started, who remembers what songs we got? We covered all these songs in previous casts, but
yeah, it was,
now we've got to remember
we got three or four. It was the opening, it was the ending.
Right, and, so the opening, the ending, Ike and Ike and I Borderline.
Was that and actually? Also the one more, the
Love Relation to War.
Yes.
I'm impressed I picked that.
Why? Did it so brilliantly. What are you trying to say?
And again, Love, Halation, the War, something that's not just supposed to be the two of them, but was kind of a future-proof version.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Well, same with the opening, really. Which technically, you know, and that's something else that's come out.
Well, that was the thing. The single came out, the first Valkyrie single, and the way the lyrics are set up is when there's a lyric, the following each lyric is a picture of the character that sings along with that lyric.
Yeah.
So
a tiny, tiny picture of their face.
Right.
It's kind of interesting.
So, yeah, I think all versions, I mean, it was amazing to see how the crowd already had all their movements memorized. They knew when to say, whoa.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, it's all type of culture. Like, yes. They've already worked out. I think it's fascinating, but everyone was really going off during the ending, Rumpika. Everyone loved that and was just cheering along. And it, there was a couple guys up front completely jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really jumping. Yeah. And also, at one point before the concert, you could see Kawamori's head poking out from the side. And or actually, before then, he'd walk past, right?
Yeah.
But when people saw his head poking out, they were yelling out, like, "Director!
Yeah.
Director!"
Yeah,
and
as
several rows back, I heard someone explain to his girlfriends, like, "That's God! That's God!" I was like, okay. And of course, he did come on after the gig and just said hello to everyone.
It basically interrupted, because it wasn't...
Yeah, he wasn't
script,
Juju.
Right?
So yeah, he came on.
This guy who was the MC... Jack! He said, "My name is Jack." And he works for Flying Dog, right? And he's been an MC on some other events,
he's
too.
He's been on a bunch of... Yeah, from Frontier.
Yeah, and he... So he's got his thing in front of him. And he made a mistake. He said the movie is coming out. And everyone's like,
Actually, yeah, and we need to say, that's what people were actually doing. They were doing the Japanese thing where they're responding to what they think is a hint for information.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh! He's like, oh, no, I screwed my line up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
He turned around a little bit, and he turned back to the audience and said, "I've just gotten word that the director wants to come out and just say some stuff, I don't know what, so I'll just step out the way."
Right.
And then Kawamori came on, and he didn't really say anything, he just said, what did he say? Like,
"Pick
up Eam" or something.
Yeah, he's like, you know, "Look forward to Delta" or something, or "Please support Delta," and then he posed for pictures with the girls in the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's a great photo, because a number of news sites have put that up on social media.
But I mean, the resolution is pretty bad.
Well, no, there's one with decent resolution.
Really?
And I think it was Flying Dog that put it up. One of the music...
Yeah.
Was it Victor? Victor, right?
Flying Dog.
Well, I think it was the Victor account, not the Flying Dog account, that put it up. And that's the one I blew up, and I could find the top of Adrian's head, my eyes, and I think your shoulder. So I found us in there. You had to know where to look, but I just picked us up in the crowd.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we kind of briefly talked about this earlier, but I think you're right when you say a lot of the bulk of the Valkyrie fans tend to be already pre-existing Idol fans that they've just moved on to, right? The people
there were a lot of the people who were lined up from first thing in the morning weren't the hardcore Macross fans I was used to seeing, and at least one or two had apparently been there overnight.
Like, the guys jumping up and down were definitely...
We're not your regular Macross fans, they were Idol fans. And someone had, you know, King Records towels, as I mentioned previously.
The guy next to them, did you see? He was a more hefty fellow.
Okay.
He was getting really annoyed at their... erratic behavior.
Was it?
Yeah, he was like giving them the look, but they didn't care, you know? And there was an age difference there. So you know that guy was an old school Macross fan. It was ruining the experience for him.
Yet he's still there very early in the morning to get that spot for this gig.
Yeah. Yeah, so you guys got what? So we got that high five thing, and you guys...
So we got the tickets to do a high five.
What was your letter?
B.
Yeah. Okay, so they were screened in groups.
B. Yeah.
They went through in groups. I got there so late, I was group I. Giddy giddy I. I almost got...
Okay.
Got thrown out. Although, I guess we did talk about them just giving out random bits of paper.
Yeah,
when
we
ran out.
Last time. But I think it's interesting to note some context here in that, you know, this wasn't a handshake event. This was a high-five event, and that was, you know, both for expediency's sake, because they could just... truck the people through there, go, yay, hey, that's it. You can try and yell a few, thank you for the concert. Oh, it's finished. That's it. It's really quick. And we got some...
There was a guy who had to be dragged. I saw him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wanted to talk more or something. And then a couple of members of staff just kept pushing him through.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I think the episode... the episode that aired that night, there was a high five in the episode.
Yeah, there was.
So it is something that they're trying to use as a gimmick opposed to the handshake that's in what? The
show. That's a cosmic movement that Frey did to the crowd. She was going up, and the actual lyrics say, "Are touching palms."
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Like during this...
Well, it must have been the following day, because that was a Saturday.
Oh, well, yeah. That's what I mean. The following...
Okay, well, I totally didn't make that connection.
Right. No, I caught it when we were watching it.
Okay.
So... this is something you'd think they were trying to, you know, work in. It's kind of a compromise between a full-on idol kind of event and something that's, you know, kind of a lighter kind of event, easier, quicker. But after recent events where there was a stabbing of an idol...
Well... of a chica idol. Let's get that straight.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? There were... It's kind of interesting to analyze how the different broadcasters are talking about this news.
Well, what exactly happened?
Okay, so there was an incident where a girl was stabbed by a fan, and this girl was a university student who was also doing some entertainment activities, is the more accurate way of saying it, right? So the thing is that she had already talked to the police about this guy. He was straight up a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was caught. He's now in police custody. But the media, the way they're talking about it, seems to be more blaming the police that they didn't act quick enough, that they didn't respond to her concerns, etc., etc. But I've started to notice that a lot of the discussion surrounding it, in particular in English language, is about idol culture and how it's creepy and how it gives rise to this kind of weird fetishization.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to say it in a really bad way, this kind of stuff is to be expected, and so they should do away with idol events and stuff like that, right? But perhaps in response to some of that bad negativity, a lot of broadcasters are actually not saying an idol was stabbed, as they were saying right after the incident.
What are they saying?
Now they're saying they're using basically what I described. Gei no katsudou o yatteita daigakusei, genyeki daigakusei, which is
university student involved in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In entertainment activities, right?
Okay, that's very vague.
Really? Yeah, vague. So when you say something like that, especially like in news, right, which has to be very, very truncated, very, very quick, mm-hmm. it just sounds to me like you're on purpose making a roundabout statement and you're trying to avoid using a particular word. So they're trying to take out any negative connotations of the word idol. And many people are saying that, like, no, she's a singer-songwriter, she's not an idol. She used to be an idol, but now she's a singer-songwriter. But immediately after the event, there were a lot of other idols who were on Twitter that defended her and said, you know, you fans, you're bad fans if you think that she belongs to you, because she doesn't belong to you, she's an idol, she belongs to everyone. That's what idols are, they're not like regular girls, right? Which, fair enough, okay, but even the people that are supposed to be on her side are calling her an idol. So there is this thing about the word idol that is becoming very, very ambiguous, shall we say?
Okay, undefined?
Because
undefined,
it means different things to different people.
Fuzzy logic.
Yeah, the tricky thing is her former career as an idol... there was this live action series that was tied to a shoujo magazine, Chow. She was part of a unit that played an idol group within the live action series, and therefore was singing along with it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an idol the way most people would think of idols, and yet it's also the idol culture has morphed so many different ways. It's an idol. It was Shogakukan was behind it, and Banda was behind it, and Well, I'm trying to remember. Oh, Fujitsu Television was behind it.
Yeah.
So, like, our friend that you mentioned earlier, she's more of a professional than a chica idol then.
Yes.
A chica idol is more of kind of, like, she wants to be an idol, she does perform, or they go out and perform, but they're more, you know, performing on the streets to get recognition before they get discovered.
Chica idol, let me just say, yeah. It means underground idol, yeah. Right? So basically what AKB48 used to be before they went mainstream.
Some like, of the people that people in America might be familiar with, they started out like that way and became big, like Haruka Moe. You just mentioned AKB48. Who else?
Kari Pami Pami, maybe?
Yes,
because
definitely,
she was a Harajuku chica idol.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So there is some concern over, you know, a lot of events have been, you know, cancelled due to this.
In terms of handshake events.
Yeah.
So whether there will actually be any more of these high five.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not the first time there was an incident with AKB48.
Yeah, there was one other stabbing.
It was after that, AKB48 stabbing at the handshake event, that people started doing the high five or high touch in Japanese. Mm. They started saying, we're going to do that instead. And now we're not sure if high touch will still be around.
So I guess we'll see.
For some groups.
Mm. But yeah, the songs in this event were really good. Sorry, were you going
to
say something?
I was just going to say, like, on a lighter note regarding the high touch event, I had to wash my hands immediately after that, even though you said, I'm never washing my hands again. Because I was an eye, all right? Hundreds of people had been there. I don't know where their hands have been.
Thousands.
That woman's 15-year-old girl's hand was filthy by that point, it must have been.
They do take breaks, so you know, as soon as they got back, spritz to the sanitizer and everything
I went straight to the bathroom.
I now have my sound bites to promote the podcast. That 15-year-old girl's hands were filthy, by the way. So, overall, though, look, and we've talked in detail, I think, about the songs in the Girl Talk and, you know, talking to the fans afterwards. Overall, it was a much bigger turnout than either we or the organisers, to some extent, were expecting. And I thought it was a really good, you know, indicator as to at least the music in Delta selling. And then immediately after this event, like, not long after, because the single had come out, that week it started charting.
Yes.
And as we mentioned before, it charted third on the Oricon charts.
Which covers physical CDs, not counting downloads, which is probably even higher.
Yes.
For a while, it was ranking, I think it was first on, from memory, it was first on Amazon Music, first on iTunes anime category, and third or fifth on iTunes regular category. This is iTunes Japan, of course.
Yeah.
And then they appeared on Mezumashi TV, as again we mentioned previously, which...
They beat Yellow Dancer on iTunes, by the way.
What?
Yellow Dancer is the name of the album of... oh my god, who is it? I forgot. Some Japanese artist. A big name guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got this new album called Yellow Dancer. I'm not making it up. The album cover is red.
That makes no sense.
Of course it's not. It's Japan. Oh, Egan's looking it up.
Gen Hoshino?
Yes! Gen Hoshino has a new album called Yellow Dancer. It was very close to the top of the charts, but Wakiuri beat him and put him in his place.
And they also knocked Utada Hikaru off, as we mentioned before.
Yeah, right. But she's hardly relevant anymore.
I will contest that. Hiki is always great.
Hiki.
And
Hikaru Ichijo.
They appeared on this show.
That's the only Hikaru I can remember.
They appeared on this show, and yeah, we got... Normally on these morning shows or talk shows, panel shows, when an artist appears, you know, they get to sing a song.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a song here. We got like literally 7 seconds of a cappella singing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I really kind of want them to do that song a cappella now, the opening.
Yeah, it was so well done. Like the harmonies were more impressive than they are on the record. But you want to talk about what they mentioned, what they said?
Go for it.
Okay, so they weren't... I don't know if I should believe this, but it was introduced that they didn't know why they were at the studio. They didn't know why they were called to this show, which was Mezumashi TV, which is on Channel 8.
A morning variety show. Like, it's, once again, not just otaku watch it, mainstream regular folks, your cup of joe in the morning kind of show.
Morning Joe.
Very popular in the US type of shows.
Yeah, it was less Donald Trump. And they basically said that nobody had told them why, and Junna was taking a test. She was having an exam at school or something, and when she finished, she realized that she had an email from her mom, and so she called her back and said, "You gotta come down to Tokyo, cause, or go over to Tokyo, because she lives in Nagoya." Mm-hmm. So it's funny that she's still living in Nagoya and going to school in Nagoya while doing all this stuff. So then she comes to Tokyo and she arrives at the studio, and this is like break of dawn, you know. So then they gather, and that's when they tell them that they managed to beat Hikaru Utada on the charts, and they're like, and they're freaking out.
And clips of this have surfaced online since.
Have they?
They have.
Oh.
Yeah. If you look at YouTube, there's a couple of people have put clips up.
Okay. I think there's some official snippets of the show out there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
One of the things that, because of the, whether they're, you know, ripped or official, the comments that a lot of the overseas fans are saying is the big joke is Juna smiled.
That's
Or she almost smiled, or it's good enough. It's enough. I'll consider that a smile. So a lot of attention is on Juna because of, I think, Ikenai Borderline. Like, I mean, her vocals are really good, but I would have to say that live, she isn't quite ready for stage yet.
What live? The one that we went to?
Yeah.
The
as opposed to Suzuki, who had charisma.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you're right about that. But that's part of her charm as an idol.
Oh, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But
is she an idol? Yeah. Is Juna an idol?
She's part of an idol group. I don't
but
know.
The image she presents is like she's wearing a leather jacket and she looks very sullen. She doesn't. The image isn't one of
them. No, I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about the image they're trying to do, they're painting, because they did it with Megumi and Mei. Mm-hmm. You know, one was supposed to look innocent, one was supposed to be sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it wrong. It should have been the other way around. But
you're talking about stage presence, basically.
Yeah. But I'm talking her on stage with Minoru Suzuki. Was as they're performing, Minoru Suzuki's doing like crowd, you know, getting crowd involved,
working,
pointing, doing that. Juna was concentrating on singing and watching Minoru to see, like, okay, is it ready to do this? Are we doing this now? Like, she, I don't think she's had as much stage training as Minoru Suzuki at all. Like, she's the fish out of water. Outside of singing.
I can agree with that. And she did smile quite a bit during that that live.
But
and
I mean, no one outside of Japan has seen that. So
no, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Crack a smile, or almost crack a smile in this performance was, like in the TV show, was the first
time. Yeah, futile as it may be, I'm trying to dispel those theories. And, you know, that is for photo shoots and for the promotional video.
She didn't smile once when she sang at the episode 2 screening, because she came in. And she was just
She didn't smile during Ikenai Borderline, because that's supposed to be a more serious song, I guess. So at this concert, she didn't do that either. But then she was singing the ending theme with Minoru Suzuki, and you know, she had a big gaping smile. She was like, "Yeah,
gaping." Is that how you normally describe a smile? Gaping,
a gaping smile. She was like fully, like her face was half mouth. Okay,
I'm gonna have nightmares.
It was like that. I thought it was charming. There's a point in the, like, everyone's gonna be able to see this, of course, through the microphone. But there's a point where they're, because that whole song is choreographed.
Right.
Choreographed. Right? So there's a point where they do this. I don't know.
Which all of you can at least hear it.
Yeah.
They do the leather couch maneuver going by that sound effect.
with the arms kind of zigzagging in front of each other.
Okay.
Which is the, is the part, like, I think it's the middle bridge just before the chorus.
You remember in the episode when we see her doing that in the Valkyrie? We're talking about those dance moves.
No, it's not that.
Oh, which one?
But it's similar. Because that's that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about this.
And of course, everyone at home could see all of this.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, well, anyway, when they do that, and they did it like three or four times during the song,
mm-hmm.
Junna had the big gaping smile.
Gaping. Okay. So you heard her here first, folks, on Speaker Podcast. Junna has a gaping smile.
And then filthy, they went back to regular
and
face.
Filthy 15-year-old hands.
FaceTime.
But yeah. So while we're on the topic of music, let's just quickly talk about... So the single has come out, it's been charting. They've also, of course, had the announcement for the first OST, which is going to be TV versions of some of the vocal songs, but mostly background music. That's going to drop on June 22nd. And then what they announced at the gig was the first... At This Mini Live, they announced the first Valkyrie album, which will come out on July 6th and has, well, I think it's 12 tracks on it. 12 vocal-only Valkyrie tracks. And it's called Valkyrie, I think it's like Volume 1. So the hint is that the nuance is there could be a Volume 2.
Oh, there's no way there aren't going to be any more songs on that.
Well, given how the rate at which Delta's dropping new songs on this, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, one every episode.
So it will be interesting to see how those perform. And also, this has all been really reflected in how fans have been flocking to YouTube to do covers of songs. It's been really interesting. There's a singer called Hina, who has a channel called HinaTube. She covers nearly every Macross Delta song, and she does it really well. My current personal favorite of our Battlefield, of Bokura no Senjou, is... A great acoustic cover by a fan called Sayashiki. There's piano covers, there's violin covers, there's karaoke covers like Utatte Mitas, right? Which Sarah mentioned a couple of podcasts back. And last night I found a Chinese band in Taiwan covering the ending of Delta.
Is that Nine Rush or Rush Nine?
It's,
or something like that?
It's called the ACG Band. Rush Nine
is something else?
Yeah, Rush Nine is the cosplay group from China. This is actually a singer. Yeah, she's doing the ending for Delta in Taiwan. Most people understand what she's singing anyway, but she's out there.
Yeah, and it's not like people in Taiwan can watch the show. Yeah, so that's weird.
Well, it's just really fascinating. Well, that and, you know, every morning I wake up and Twitter's just, there's always got some new fan art. whether it's you know, Borg and Freya, or whether it's...
The Borg.
Whether it's Mesa Similated with cat them. Ears. You know, there's always new... Borg, I should say. There's always new fan art. So look, let's stop it there with the Delta. And that'll do it for this episode of the Speaker Podcast. We'll be back very shortly. We're going to record again tomorrow when episode 9 airs. So looking forward to that.
So explain what exactly a Gurtalk is, just so people know the difference between the regular Speaker Podcast installments and Gurtalk.
Sure. So Gurtalk is dedicated, more or less, exclusively to our impressions of each episode of Macross Delta immediately after it airs. So we don't wait for subtitles, we don't wait for fan dissection. We generally try to quickly watch it a second time, and then bam, go straight into recording. And yeah, we'll put in bits and pieces of events that have happened around the episode, like we have previously. But as a general rule, it's Delta episode by episode playthrough.
So why is it called Gurtalk instead of Deltalk?
Because Deltalk will come later when we get to the mid-season 12 episode break and the intro and outro changes. It's Gurtalk because that is the half mode of the Batroid, and we're only half baked when we see that episode, because when we have to go back and we realize we made a mistake, and we made a mistake, but we're trying to get the information out to you as soon as possible. So that's why it's the mode right in the middle.
There's logic behind this.
There you go.
Logic behind the madness. Speaking of madness, you can find me on Twitter at Gwyn Campbell, capital G, capital C, all one word. You can find the podcast on iTunes. Look for Speaker Podcast, one word. And you can also find me on Repax Podcast's Dishing on Delta, which is currently, they just finally caught up. Craig was behind by a couple of episodes, but you can find them on iTunes or their website or on Facebook. Renato, can we find you anywhere?
What is the point of asking? I'm going to make a Twitter account pretty soon.
Really?
Probably, yeah, maybe.
Well, that's the point of asking. Look, it's actually achieved something. All right.
No.
Adrian.
Just so I have something to answer.
Wow, I'm taken back. Wow, finally Twitter.
Yeah, only like 10 years too late.
Really? Does dumb phone support Twitter?
Oh, someone's got a new phone.
Yeah,
it doesn't. That's why I haven't done it.
So far. I see. Okay, well, you can find me on Twitter at Giant Robo. Please send me any of your toy questions or any kind of Akihabara-related questions or Macross questions.
And as always, you can contact the podcast at speakerpod@gmail.com. And if you look around, you might see Egan floating around, because Egan's the mysterious Venus. So, we're going to sign off until we record again tomorrow night. And there's a lot of events we have yet to catch up on, so we'll be back in the very near future with a new podcast all about those, including Milan Party 2. So until then, this is the Speaker Podcast, folding out.
バラバラに砕ける して